Anybody familiar with Adi Ashanti? A few of you. Adi Ashanti is a wonderful American-born Buddhist monk. Beautiful, beautiful being, beautiful soul. And what I love most about him is that he delivers the message of oneness through language that we get, that, you know, that we in this country get in a way that, you know, because sometimes things come through another language or another culture, and it's easy to possibly dismiss. You don't mean to, but there's some things, if you don't understand it, you dismiss it, that it's a different cultural thing. But because he speaks in the way he speaks, you get it. It's soft and sweet and gentle and extremely logical. I'm a person who's very balanced between heart and mind, and I like my logic to be in place as much as I like my heart to be in place. And so I find that Adi Ashanti is someone who does that. So, and we might still have a couple of his books in the bookstore if you want to just investigate him a little more. Just a beautiful being. But he said, make no mistake about it. Enlightenment is a destructive process. It has nothing to do with becoming better or being happier. Enlightenment is the crumbling away of untruth. It's seen through the facade of pretense. It's the complete eradication of everything we imagined to be true. Carl Jung said, the privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are. And Eckhart Tolle said, only the truth of who you are, if realized, will set you free. We are born with a, you've heard me say this many, many times, I've brought you into meditations with it, that we are born perfect. We forget that, but we are born perfect. Perfect doesn't mean you have perfect skin and perfect flexibility and perfect intelligence. Perfect means however it is that you were spit out into this earth from that God spark. So we come in with this core of our being that has never been hurt, harmed, or injured. This is a regular theme you hear from me, but I can almost guarantee that none of you can hear it too often. And so we are born with this perfection. We are born with this beauty, with this courage, with all the elements and the qualities of God. However, the second we are birthed into the world, the second we come from the perfect idea to humanity, born with that humanity is a set of beliefs, and we are spit out into a world that believes in form. We are born into a world that believes in limitation. So even with the pure essence that you come into the earth with, there is surrounding you loving people, people who love and adore you, and you, how you loved and adored your child, your children, for those of you who are parents that were born, or your grandchildren, or your nieces and nephews, but anyone who's been present for that young child that was born, you saw them as perfection. But what happens is, unless you were one to question, you were also born with innate, you adopted limitations that you didn't think to question. Why? Because we often don't question. We don't question aging. Most of us didn't think to question that. And the first person on the scene who really, really started to question it was Deepak Chopra. He was the first one to really get in our face and to question our belief system in this society about aging. We were adopted from family members, from preachers, teachers, siblings, neighbors, whatever, superstitions about the way to be, about the way not to be. We adopted things and limitations about our skin color, about the sex that we were born into, and even to question our sexuality. We were born perfect, but born into a system that was already contaminated. So the second we get born into that, depending on who your parents were, you were immediately thought of, well, you're going to wear blue or you're going to wear pink. Well, I'm going to raise an athlete. No, I'm going to raise an artist. And so there, the prejudice that we are born into, immediately that starts. Neither of those are bad. None of those are bad. But it is the domestication. So we have this core of our being that gets birthed. And then immediately we're in human form. And human form has those belief systems and those limitations. And I say limitations because most of us don't question it and they become a limitation. And then what happens is there's then the next layer. And the next layer becomes the domestication. Anybody here a feisty little kid? Right? Yeah, this room is usually filled with feisty young kids that probably, you know, your parents probably drove themselves crazy trying to contain you. Sometimes with love, sometimes with creative other ways. Often it could be just a dirty look. You know, I'm of Irish descent. The Irish think we have that look. You know that look? The look that can kill, right? That's what we called it. Or the look that would stop a clock. That's how it was referred to in my family. So you worried when you got the look. Nothing had to be said. But I'm sure many of your families had the same way. No one had to say anything to you. No one had to touch you. If you got the look, the sting of that look was enough for you to decide whether or not you continued in a particular behavior or not, right? That's domestication. So we become domesticated because we are seeking approval, but along the line of seeking approval, we have the people who are surrounding us wanting us to be like them. Right? Remember that? You know, we want our kids to be like us. And if you're different, especially in the school system, we still have this issue, there's no room for you to be unique. There's not, that room just isn't there. So there's all sorts of labels now and all sorts of medications. Like, here, take this, and you'll be like me. Meanwhile, we're dumbing down some of the most creative children that are out there. There's got to be another way. I think we're looking for it, but it's still that way. Then as we grow a little bit older, we begin to differentiate. That's a term I didn't really know about till a few years back. I never really got it. But in the differentiation, you know, a mother who's, or a child who's trying to differentiate, especially a daughter who's trying to differentiate from her mother, and a son who's trying to differentiate from the father so they could find who they are in their world through their own sexuality. And then there's another issue. When you are a single parent of children, then the differentiation becomes even more challenging because they're rebelling against something. They don't even know what they're rebelling about. All trying to be themselves. They're just trying to be themselves. And sometimes they do it really elegantly, and often they don't do it elegantly. So that creates more of a, it appears, and we label it as rebellious, when truly, what did he say? Eckhart Tolle said, only the truth of who you are, if realized, will, no, the other one. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are. So here these children and these young adults and these teens are seeking to become who they are, but we think they're being different, and we get a little stubborn, and we go into objection. And our objection wants to hold on tight, when really what we have to do is we have to do a little bit of this, and we have to let go just enough to watch and see who they are. And then to celebrate that in them. Your control, my control, or attempt to control the development of our children is futile, because they're going to become who they are anyway. But they could do it with grace and ease, with your support, or not. And then finally, there's a place of emancipation, where we leave home and we emancipate ourselves and we go out to find our own life. And then that's another layer that is surrounding that original core. So all of these are different layers that surround themselves around the core of our being. And then life happens. Some of you have known a life of ease. Some of you were not born into a household as dysfunctional as the rest of us. Some of you have only known ease. Some of you have had loving, supportive parents, and you had money, and life was just good, and it was good. However, you are in the minority, I assure you, because dysfunctional families have become the majority. It's but by far more common once we want to admit it. So then, in that though, in that you're succeeding, you're seeking to succeed. That's all you want your good. So you do everything you can to succeed. Now in that success, there's trials. There's trials of success and there's trials of failures. And all of these metaphysically, this is all good. It's good to try. It's even good to try and fail and try again. And then it's even good to try and fail and then try again, then fail and try again. It's all good. What I'm trying to deliver to you is the idea that what's happened is unwittingly we have adopted layer upon layer upon layer, like an onion with all of its layers. You always hear of that as the metaphor, that we have to peel away the layers. And as we do that, we cry because of the letting go. We get closer to the core. We are studying Carolyn Mays right now, entering the castle in the what the mystics knew. And what I love about what she does, actually I typed it out, and I changed it up a little bit. She talks about the necessity for cleaning out. She refers to the different levels of growth within you as different mansions in your life. This was all from St. Teresa of Avila. And so before doing a process, she suggests speaking this prayer. So I'm going to give you short phrases, and I'd like you to repeat after me. I cross the bridge into the silent bliss of my soul. I close the passageway and forbid all outside influences. From entry into this whole, into this place that I hold in my soul, here in my soul, I am alone with God. Under God's light and companionship, I discover the depth and beauty of my soul. I embrace the power of prayer. I surrender myself to become a channel, to become as a channel for grace, healing, and service as God directs my life. And then she goes on to talk about, I'm going to read something to you. She creates what I think is a very powerful distinction between judgment and discernment. Everyone is quick to judge, which is why it is essential to develop discernment, the refined capacity of reason. Discernment opens a channel for grace. Negative judgments come from fear and insecurity, not from wanting another to be your equal, not from wanting to acknowledge someone else's accomplishments, or from wanting something new to initiate change. With discernment, you practice detachment instead of looking through the lens of your personal vulnerabilities. The discerning eye is objective. You gain discernment by becoming aware of the reasons why you judge and why you fear what is new and different. Since the divine only speaks to you through new perceptions, you need discernment in order to recognize when and how you are being guided. I think there are some ways, there are some times in life that it's not the best thing to ask. I think the best question that you and I can always ask ourselves is why? Why? Why do I think this way? Why do I feel such and such? Why did I react? why did I take offense? Why do I like peanut butter but not Nutella? In that why, in asking ourselves why throughout life, we become more and more awake. And then when we look at what the reasons are why we choose, at that moment you can begin to choose differently if you want to. Why wakes you up? Now, you don't ask, why did you do that to me? That's being a victim. That's the time you don't ask that question. Why did this happen to me? No. But why do I feel this way? Why do I resonate with this community? Why don't I resonate with that community? Why do I like a particular reading? Why don't I like a particular reading? Because that investigation is discernment into your being. The layers that surround that core of who you are can be labeled by many things, but some of them have got to go. Some of them have got to go. Some have got to go. You've adopted them, and you've adopted them from places you don't even know where you've adopted them from. How do you know what's got to go? Are you suffering? Is there pain? Is there discomfort? Is there a pattern? Are there limitations? That's how you know what's got to go. I want to know something from you. I want to know if you're willing to let go of one piece of something today. So I ask you to close your eyes right now. And I simply want you to become very mindful. And one of the greatest ways to become mindful is to sit tall so you're in great alignment. Get still and go into your breath. If you happen to be breathing from your upper chest, lower it into your abdomen so you're being very mindful. And breathe into that space. And now ask yourself, what needs to go? What, just for today, what one thing can I choose to release today? What one thing am I no longer willing to be identified with? Now, some of those identifications might be your roles that you play in life, because every role has a limitation if we're not awake. It might be the degrees that you've gathered in school. It might be the stories that you continue to say about yourself. It might be what you label as wounds. It might be caught within a memory. Just choose one. One way that you have identified yourself, that you say on this day, this is not who I am. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Now, as I've been asking you many times over the months, I'm asking you please to turn to one person. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. We're all here in the heart. We're here in that heart space. But just turn and tell at least one person what it is that you're willing to let go of. Would you share that now with somebody? My timing isn't your timing. This is not a multi-level marketing thing. You know? Where you never get to pass the one on top? Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. You easily can surpass your teacher in this teaching. Easily. I had a conversation today with Dan Granda, and we're talking about, he's in my class, and we're talking about the work that we're doing with the Carolyn Mace. And like, you know, some of the older people in the group were like, yeah, this is really good stuff. We're cleaning stuff out. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess you didn't mess up your life. Because if you didn't mess it up as much as we've messed it up, you don't have to forgive and forget and get over. We've just spent more time collecting the garbage. So if the earlier you start, the less work there is to do, which is the beautiful thing, which is why it's great for our kids, you know, to raise our children in this and our grandchildren in this. But truly, it's got to go. Anything that you have believed that has caused you pain is a lie. The truth is the core. The truth is your beauty. The truth is your strength. The truth is your imagination. That's your I am.